And on Books and Arts Daily on RN, I'm Michael Cathcart, and my guest throughout this program is the wonderful writer Kate Kennedy. Now, Kate, you're interested in the work of the Tasmanian artist Brigitte Ozolins, in particular her art installation that was in the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery last year called The Reading Room. It took your fancy.
I found when I went to Mona last year, and there's an installation in Mona which is like the kind of opposite of the reading room. It's like a, it's an installation that's like totally white. It's like a library where there's nothing there. The floor's white, the tables are white, the chairs are white. There's white shelves full of white books with not a single word written on them. It's like the, it's like a room that's been leached of context and meaning, I guess. And then there was this other exhibition later in the year, the reading room of Brigitte's, and it's such a different way of looking at sort of books as a city, as an installation, as something to walk into and a tactile, visceral thing to enjoy and love. Right. So, yes, totally different.
Well, let's meet Brigitte. She's in our Hobart TARDIS. Hi, Brigitte.
Oh, hi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Those walls aren't closing in on you, are they there?
I've been sitting here for a while waiting. It is an odd sensation, yes. But it's fine. It's fine.
I sometimes think when I'm sitting in a TARDIS waiting to go on air that perhaps there should be a counsellor standing by just in case it gets a little bit challenging.
No, I'm coping.
Tell us about this exhibition that so took Kate's fancy, The Reading Room. How did it come about, Brigitte?
Oh, look, I'm just delighted that Kate loved that work. And in fact, lots of people really enjoyed it. So the reading room came about. I was asked to put in a proposal for the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery. And when I was shown the space, I thought, what am I going to do in here? It's such a big, long space. There's 55 metres of wall space. And the first thought that came into my mind is an experience that I had in Latvia in 2010 when I showed work there. My parents are from Latvia. And the work was shown in the National Library of Latvia. And it just showed digital images, which is unusual for me because most of my work incorporates books in one form or another. A week after the exhibition opened, I got a phone call from the librarian who said a terrible thing has happened. The floors of the stacks in the library have collapsed and 80,000 books have just collapsed through into the basement, and the water pipes have burst and we've had to rescue them and form a human chain of 400 people to put them in the safe parts of the library, which included my exhibition. So she sent me a photo, and there was my exhibition with books about three or four deep lining the walls of the gallery up to about halfway. So when I somehow that image came into my mind when I went into the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery space and was shown that gallery, and I thought, yes, I'm going to line the walls of this space halfway with books. I'm going to paint the walls red, which is an idea from another work. I'm going to have a code on the walls. I'm going to create a space. I wanted to create a space that would be inviting and that would somehow evoke all of those fantastic experiences that we have when we're transported by the magic world of books and reading.
There is something, Kate, powerful about not just a pile of books, but a pile of someone else's books.
Isn't that true? It's not just a sanctuary, but it's like you are going to be allowed access now into someone else's kind of interior life that has formed them in a way. Yeah, it's beautiful.
I love that thing of being actually in someone else's house when you're staying there and you've been given the permission, or perhaps you haven't been given the permission, to go through their books, and you find books, that you've never seen before. I can remember, staying in a squat in Brixton in 1985 and discovering From Bauhaus to Our House. I can remember the day I read From Bauhaus to Our House, yes. Because it was this intense encounter with someone who was into architecture and design.
And that becomes knitted up into your life then. And one of the beautiful things about the reading room was this sort of great video projection on the wall that maybe Brigitte could explain for us, where there was like 100 people just enjoying that beautiful feeling if you curl up in a chair and you read a book that's something pivotal for yourself.
Yeah, well, the space allowed you to do two things. One, it was very dark in there with just these little reading lamps and piles of books on the wall, on the floor as well as the walls. So you could curl up and you could select books and read those. But you could also sit back and be read to. It's such a fantastic memory I have of being read to by my mother when I was a child. So there are over... It's really the heart of the reading room was this video of over 100 people all sitting in the same big wingback leather chair, reading for about 1 minute a passage from one of their favourite books. And it was such a, I mean, I felt moved myself listening to people reading their selections. They were really sharing something deeply personal in many cases, and had gone to a lot of trouble to select very significant passages. You know, a minute from a book is not very long, and it's quite a big decision to make.
Mm. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN, and we're talking to Brigitta Oslens, and we're talking to her because Kate Kennedy said that we should. Kate Kennedy's my guest today, and we're just doing what she tells us to do. Now, we've had a message, and I don't know what it means. It says the word mine in Castlemaine is listening now. Do you know what that means?
Oh, the word mine is, I think, a group of writers who are about to be putting on some workshops and some poetry performances soon, a new group that's been setting up. That's all I know about them. It's a bit of a whisper.
Okay, yeah. So Castlemaine, we should say, is a sort of ex-gold mining town, a rather beautiful town in central Victoria. Now, Brigitta, your next exhibition, this is very tantalising to me,
will be
in the State Library of Tasmania, and it's called Grimstone and Savoury.
Yes, that's right. So Isn't it a fantastic title?
I mean, it's a TV series for sure, Grimstone and Savoury.
But they're not two private investigators or whatever. They're actually two Australia's first two novelists, which is just so tantalisingly interesting, yeah.
Tell us who they were, Brigitta.
Yes, so Grimstone and Savoury are Australia's first two novelists. Henry Savoury, who published his novel Quintus Surventon, which is largely autobiographical, and it was published in Hobart in 1830. And Mary Grimstone, whose novel was published in 1832 in London, pipped at the post by a man who wrote Woman's Love, which is... a love story with all kinds of intrigues and complex relationships and so on. Extremely rare, an extraordinarily rare book. In fact, there are only two known copies, as far as I know through my research, that exist, that we know. And one is owned by the State Library of Tasmania, and one's in the British Library in London. But Savoury and Grimstone have these extraordinary lives that sort of cross over in many ways, remarkable coincidences, and a very dark side to their lives as well, which I think is sort of reflected in their surnames. So both of them came from well-to-do backgrounds and had periods of tremendous success in their lives. Savoury is a businessman. Grimstone wrote a number of other novels and poems, and she was a member of the suffragettes and wrote a lot of treatises on the rights of women. But both of them also had these darker periods. Savoury was transported to Van Diemen's Land for forging bills of exchange. Grimstone had all kinds of relationship problems and couldn't, you know, her first husband died almost immediately after they married.
Well, I think you've captured some of that sense in this soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Let's pause with this for a moment. See, I'm feeling spooky. what is this we're listening to, Brigitta?
So this is soundtrack that accompanies... There's a separate soundtrack for Grimstone and one for Savoury. This is the one for Savoury. The exhibition actually aims to both celebrate and mourn the lives of both these authors. And I do have to make sure that I tell you that the most extraordinary coincidence about them is that they both committed suicide. Savoury by... probably as a result of cutting his own throat, and Grimstone by consuming disinfectant. And she died, you know, half blind, penniless, and, you know, it's incredibly sad. So the aim of the exhibition is to try and evoke some of the mystery surrounding their lives and also the tragedy, but also to celebrate them because they're so little known. The everyday person wouldn't know who Henry Savery and Mary Grimstone are and that they are our literary firsts, yeah. Really.
So Australia. What will we see or hear in the show?
Oh, well, I don't want to give everything away.
Oh, okay. No,
I think people will have to come. But I am going to transform the Allport Gallery of Fine Arts in the State Library of Tasmania. It's going to be painted a deep, murky, swampy green. You're going to enter through dark curtains. And the centre of the space is going to be dominated by a mausoleum-like structure. I won't tell you all of the details of it, but just to give you a taster. And there'll be gold lettering. There'll be some phrases from each of Australia's first novels that you'll be able to read. And there are two videos, one for Grimstone and one for Savery, accompanied by those soundtracks that will be going simultaneously with just a slightly higher bell for Grimstone. I will say that the image I have for Mary Grimstone, I needed an image for her and I couldn't sort of quite find it. And then I heard Sir William Crowther talking about the purchase of that first edition of Woman's Love, and which is so rare, as I just said earlier. And he taps on the cover of the book and he says, "This is the black tulip of my collection." Talking about the rarity of black tulips and then comparing it to the rarity of this first edition. So look out for a black tulip in Grimstone and Savery.
Gosh, that's a fantastically evocative image, the black tulip. And actually it goes with that music, doesn't it?
Thank you. Well, it's working and the work's not even up yet.
Am I right in thinking that that Woman's Love is going to be digitised so that we were able to read it as part of the exhibition?
Yes. It's fantastic because it's never been reprinted. There was only that first edition and only those two copies, one in London and one here, that we know about. And so the State Library has agreed to digitise its copy, which is so fantastic because other people will be able to actually enjoy it online.
So this is the novel by Mary, is it?
That's right, Mary Grimstone.
That's right, by Mary Grimstone. Well, I haven't had a chance to read it from cover to cover. It's three volumes in detail. I've done sort of a skim read of it. And Maurice Miller has actually done a sort of a summary of the plot, and it's so unbelievably complex. But it has some very beautiful passages
We might return to that on a later occasion. Mm. Hey, Brigitte, it's been great to talk to you. I'll let you out of that little TARDIS now, let you escape from the little box.
Thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure to be part of the show. Thank you for
having
me. Good
on you. Brigitte Oslin's there joining us from Hobart, and her exhibition, Grimstone and Savery, Australia's First Novelist, will be at the State Library of Tasmania opening on the 1st of May.